and you're on the front porch. This week, we're speaking with Brandon Dennison. He's the CEO of Coalfield Development Corporation. His program is trying to help people in Appalachia get back to work. Is it working? Support for the Front Porch comes from the Charleston Gazette Mail, using its CGM app to deliver the latest news, traffic, and weather. Check it out at Google Play and iTunes. I'm Scott Finn, CEO of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, joined as usual by Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Scott.
And Brandon Dennison, as we said earlier, from the Coalfield Development Corporation. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Give me your elevator speech. What is the Coalfield Development Corporation?
Coalfield Development Corporation is a family of social enterprises trying to rebuild the Appalachian economy from the ground up. So it's a big, bold vision, but that's exactly what we try and do day in and day out. We're a family of five social enterprises in sustainable agriculture, the Refresh Appalachia, sustainable construction, also including deconstruction of dilapidated buildings. We have a solar installation enterprise, an arts and culture enterprise, and a mine land reclamation enterprise.
So is it a business or a nonprofit?
It's a social enterprise, which is a blend of a business and a nonprofit. A social enterprise takes the compassion and the mission of the nonprofit world, and it blends it with the efficiency of the for-profit world. So the idea is we can be an actual job creator while we're achieving our mission for the community, and we don't have to be totally dependent on those grants and donations to survive. So we operate as much like a business as we can, but at the end of the day, it's all about our social mission.
Sounds like public broadcasting, actually, a little bit. You get a mix of funding. You earn some, and you raise some, and some comes from the government.
Exactly right. It's a blend. We hire unemployed, underemployed people to work what we call the 33-6-3 model. Our crew members work 33 hours a week paid, like they would for any other business, but 6 hours a week they're in the community college classroom working on their associate's degree, and 3 hours a week we do personal development, what some might call life skills or soft skills. A lot of the intangibles that are actually probably most important to the workforce development process.
So two more quick questions. How many people are working for you right now?
We've got just under 50 crew members on our payroll right now. And then we have crew members working cohorts of 3 to 5 under a crew chief. A crew chief is full-time salaried professional that mentors the crew members. And then each of those enterprises I mentioned has a president who is really the entrepreneur responsible for the success of the enterprise.
And this is a Coalfield Development Corporation. So for those who live outside of West Virginia, you're dealing with mostly rural counties that are in the southern part of the state that have a coal heritage, right?
Exactly right. We're in the southwestern part of West Virginia along the Kentucky border, deep in the heart of the coal fields.
The place that's been the hardest hit by the job losses in the last few years.
Absolutely. One of our counties is Mingo County. At one point, I think literally had the highest unemployment rate in the country.
I think like a lot of the people you say who are on your crew, who are just a regular, you know, sort of mentors, the others, they're often people who worked in the mines, right? And the younger ones are people who in other times might have. Is that
exactly right. So we have many laid off coal miners on our team. And then also a lot of young people. We recruit in three main places, the DHHR offices. Work with unemployment programs through Workforce West Virginia, and then also vocational programs. And a lot of our folks who come from the vocational programs actually had their miner's card, had every intention of spending their life in the mines like their parents and grandparents did, and then it just wasn't there.
Let's hear from one of these participants. Colt Brogan is someone in Refresh Appalachia. That's the agricultural social enterprise.
Everywhere in the state, there's a story like mine. I feel like there's countless stories like mine. I think people need to know the problems out there so that they can find those solutions. They need to know what we really face as a community and what kids are learning. So, you know, what the future generation has to hold because of what they have experienced and how emotionally and mentally disturbed a lot of us really are because of what we did have to go through.
So I had the chance to hang out with him recently down there in Williamson, and he's a really good guy, and I really appreciate the chance. But one thing I noticed, like, there's a whole generational thing we've talked about on here of people coming up in a time when major unemployment, when the drug epidemic's ravaging, when all kinds of things are going on. I remember just sitting around a table talking with folks, and there was so much stuff that people were dealing with.
It's trauma. Really, I hadn't been using that word. I just saw a headline that nearly half a children in West Virginia experience a traumatic event growing up, and I wasn't surprised to hear that given the story of a lot of our crew members. So a lot of times I think jobs are treated like a silver bullet. You know, we say we just need to create more jobs. And I think that's actually maybe a little bit too simplistic, because when you've experienced severe trauma, when you have, you know, mental, emotional, maybe, you know, physical damage from that, you need a whole support system. You do need a job. I think the job's the heart of it still yet, but you need mentorship. Actually, you need people who are willing to patiently not just give you an opportunity, but really cultivate that opportunity, walk with you through that opportunity so that folks have the life skills to seize it.
So one thing that I'm hoping to talk about on this program sometime is this ACEs study of adverse childhood experiences, where there's actually a test and you can sort of, there's an ACEs score for the sort of things that you underwent during that time. And it'd be really interesting to see how things shook out with that, how people do it, because it really seems to predict a lot of things. But the good news is, like, if you have some protective factors, like some positive people in your life, if you have, like, the kind of connections that can help people overcome those adverse experiences and some of that trauma. But yeah, trauma is exactly the word I was thinking about when I was down there.
In Colt's case, and I say this because Colt was so generous and brave to be able to share about his life. His mom had drug addiction problems throughout his growing up, and that caused a lot of instability in his life. And I think, you know, he talks about how he sees farming. Maybe that's why he loves the land so much and farming. It's the most stable thing you can think of, this idea of having a piece of land and growing something there. And he really latched onto it, latched onto your program as a sort of a buoy, almost like a lifeline. What happens to Colt next? If you don't have a piece of land, aren't a lot of farms in places like Lincoln County that are hiring people to do that sort of work? What's the plan after they finish the program?
So we always tell our crew members, don't put all your eggs in one basket. And so on a big 30,000 foot view, we're trying to diversify the economy of Southern West Virginia. There's been all this talk, generation upon generation, we've got to diversify, got to diversify. At Coalfield, we're trying to show how we actually do that, try to be the pioneers of businesses that can actually diversify our economy. So I think you're going to see local sustainable agriculture as an economic engine grow and grow and grow. And we're seeing that before our very eyes. Ben Gilmer's the president, Refresh Appalachia. He could speak to this better than I could.
You're making money on this?
Yeah, our sales for Refresh grow every year. Now, it's not a cash cow right now, but it's a growing industry. Jobs are not a silver bullet. There are no silver bullets. The closest thing to a silver bullet for West Virginia's future is entrepreneurship and small business development. So we do encourage all of our crew members to develop a business plan, to develop the entrepreneurial mindset, to have the potential to be their own business owners. But again, we always say don't put all your eggs in one basket. So Colt, whether he goes into agriculture or not, he's going to have an associate's degree. He's going to have professional work experience, more than 2 years of it. He's going to show proficiency in our 12 professional criteria that any employer would want to see. Things like problem solving, teamwork, communication, planning, focus, initiative. He's going to have lots of different pathways to a full life. I think the ultimate will be as an agriculture entrepreneur with his own farm. But say that it just leads to a good paying career, he could still have a farm at home and have additional income. And none of the workforce training will be wasted.
So another participant that you have in your Refresh Appalachia program is Crystal Snyder. And she's also featured in our Struggle to Stay series, which, by the way, short plug, you can listen to Struggle to Stay on Inside Appalachia, our podcast and weekly radio show. And also the whole Struggle to Stay series is on our website, wvpublic.org. Crystal Snyder, who's a single mom, and she's juggling a lot. We're going to meet her first at a really low point in her struggle to be a part of this program. She was having some issues at home with her son. She had gotten involved in the election and was not happy with the results. And then she got in trouble at work because she missed work and had not properly notified her supervisor about it.
I'm not sleeping and I'm having like chest pain and just so much pressure. I feel so alone. There's so much at stake. It would just be really nice if there were like a mother or a father or grandparent or an aunt or uncle or someone that I could just like, I could just hug and like, they would just tell me it's going to be okay.
And by the way, Crystal, she seems like just this really energetic, spectacular woman.
Yeah.
Has so much going on in her life. And yet she had, you know, a situation where she and her family were robbed at gunpoint when she was 8. Talk about that ACEs stuff. Mm-hmm. She was sexually molested when she was 5. So she's carrying a lot of baggage too around with her. How do you guys deal with that? How did you deal with Crystal? You know, she made a mistake and did something bad that would get her fired in a lot of other jobs. She didn't report in when she was missing.
So we ask a lot of our crew members. We ask them to work hard. This is hard work. You know, there's the great scene where she's dealing with the squash out in the mud and the rain. This is hard work. And then we ask them to go to community college classes after that. And then we do 3 hours of personal development every week. That's a major commitment.
And she's a single mom, right? So
right.
She has all that going on.
And so at no point when we recruit our crew members, we never say this is easy. You know, that might not be fair, but we're trying to get crew members ready to be successful in the modern economy. And so, you know, we can't coddle because we can't set our crew members up thinking the workforce works one way when it doesn't. You can't miss work without notifying your supervisor. And so when that happens, there have to be consequences. However, we can enforce those consequences in a fair and compassionate way. And so instead of just firing and terminating, the incentives can kind of rise and fall. And there's, you know, entry ramps and exit ramps so that we can learn and grow.
And do you have graduates yet?
Yeah, over 30.
What's your placement percentage then for those graduates?
Right now it's 100%. And now I worry, you know, we've had 30 graduates. We have 50 on our payroll right now. As we grow, I worry about that. Are there enough jobs out there for all of our graduates to find good pay and work? And so part of the solution to that, I think, is we continue to grow our businesses and our family to be healthy as well.
It's a lot easier to give someone a check than to give them a real opportunity to work.
Yeah.
And that's what you're showing. You have picked 50 people that are passionate about trying to get their lives together, trying to get a job. So you're not just getting anyone. You're getting people that have self-selected to apply for your program.
Right.
And even so, with all these challenges in their past and in their current lives, it is so hard.
Yeah.
Because is this scalable? Is this something that we can do for thousands of people instead of 50?
Well, we started off just in 2012 with 3. So we've grown from 3, we've graduated over 30, and we've got 50 now. So that bodes well for scale. I think work ethic is not our challenge in West Virginia. The work ethic is there. Our crew members show up 6:30, 7 a.m., work all day, go to school, do their personal development, repeat the next day.
They're clean, I assume?
Yeah, yeah.
Do some of them have former drug problems that they're getting older?
Yeah, we hire folks in recovery. We want to be a place of opportunity, but to be safe, we have to drug test.
And a lot of them are covered by Medicaid expansion too, right? Just the health in terms of health. So they're
right.
Able
some
to
are,
get
some
treatment
aren't.
And...
It's a complicated picture. Yeah. But yeah, yeah. You know, the healthcare thing is interesting. So we start at $10.50 an hour. It's not great pay. It's better than minimum wage. That is just not a lot of money to raise a family on. Mm-hmm. At one point, we gave a raise. We gave every 50% raise. We'd, you know, done well. People were working hard. Well, that raise, you know, some of our folks had health insurance. And then 50 cents an hour later, they went above the cutoff. And we thought we were doing a really good thing. And then a bunch of our crew members were losing health insurance. It was like, golly, it gets so complicated. The webs of poverty that can pull a person down.
So you guys can't offer health insurance. You definitely aren't doing like pensions and stuff like that. I mean, that just economically doesn't work for you.
Right. And so to your point about scale, these are businesses. So we can only grow. We can only do as well as our businesses are doing. But I think what's most exciting, we're pioneering something new and innovative and creative that other communities could replicate. So instead of just us expand, we'd like to pivot towards building the capacity of our grassroots partners to replicate what we've learned.
Talk about scale, though. Like, I live way out in the country. You walk out to the end of my road, there's a rock wall, and carved on it is WPA 1938, that there was a time in this country when people did put the time and effort in, like, Civilian Conservation Corps, Works Progress Administration, actually putting people, I mean, I interviewed people who've gone through those. But so this is like a small scale attempt to do that.
Do you think West Virginians and Americans in general are ready to invest in people at the level it would take to make this not a pilot program, but to make this the norm? I'm asking you, Rick, what do you think?
Well, I was going to defer to my good friend Brandon.
ROI. I think we put this in investment terms. What's it take to build a mile of highway in West Virginia? Like $2 million or something to build 1 mile of road? Our whole operating budget to put 50 people to work in our old community colleges is a little over $2 million. Think about the return on that investment. How much does it cost? You have a person on public assistance, you know, who needs Medicaid, who needs SNAP, and you take that person off of public assistance, they're now on the payroll. They're now paying a payroll tax. They're now, you know, less likely to end up in jail. They are working on an associate's degree, so their income is going to rise. Their kids are going to do better in school. The return on investment for just to create a $130,000 job a year is astronomical. And so I think if we put it in those terms, surely folks would be on board with that.
Also, I think if you give people the choice, okay, $1.5 trillion tax cut to the wealthy or putting people back to work, rebuilding our community, I don't think it would even be close.
But I think the problem is people are deeply cynical about government's ability to help programs like yours do this. Just don't think that government spending can help an enterprise like yours put people back to work. They don't believe you.
Well, and the government money is only one part of the pie. We have sales, we have contracts, we have donations, we have private foundation grants, and then we have government grants. So I you know, I'm not asking for the government to do it. I think
you're asking for the government to help do it.
Sure, absolutely, because it's a bigger return on investment for the tax dollar than a lot of other government projects going on out there. So if people want to see their tax dollars invested wisely, human development's the answer.
And do you think our economic development focus in this state is on the right things?
I think West Virginia has a lot of economic potential. And I think a strategy that would make the most sense is West Virginia being pitched as a place. If you have an entrepreneurial idea, come here and try it. Just like I did when I was 24 years old coming out of graduate school. Beautiful place, interesting people, fun experiences, low cost of living. West Virginia is a place where you can come and try your entrepreneurial idea. So I think we're moving in the right direction with our economic development policies, but I do think we could put a lot more focus on entrepreneurship and small business. We invest a lot of time trying to recruit. We essentially pay these larger existing employers to come here. I think the higher return on investment would be more of a bottom-up approach, support the homegrown entrepreneurs that are in this for the long haul and that are embedded in woven into the fabric of our communities.
All right, we're speaking with Brandon Dennison. He's the CEO of Coalfield Development Corporation. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk to Brandon about his struggle to stay and his decision to start this social enterprise. But first, so from Porchians, Rick, Lori, and I are asking you to participate in our Listen, Sustain, Protect campaign and stand for what you believe in, which includes the sort of civil conversation you hear on the front porch.
So I have to admit, I do listen to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, especially the news programs and the talk programs, which you've done more of since you've come back. So way to go on that.
So you do listen.
I do listen, totally.
All right. And when I say sustain to you, Lori, what do you think about?
Having something that is here now that we enjoy, having it here in the future for not only us, but for our kids, for people who are coming after us. So certainly seeing that, you know, the institution is able to endure not just this year or next year, but into the future down the road.
And then we say protect because it cost us, and we've done some numbers, some math around here, $2.2 million just to provide the TV and the radio signals across this very rural mountainous state. That's a lot of money. And we get some help from the state government from that, but less than we used to. More than ever, when people stand up and they not just listen, but they sustain us with their sustaining gift, it is protecting the service and making sure that's available to everybody. So make your pledge of support, if you could, to West Virginia Public Broadcasting, a sustaining pledge at 800-RADIO-87, or you can pledge online at wvpublic.org. So I listen.
I sustain.
I protect.
That's kind of lame.
How much did you pay somebody to come up with this whole three-pronged thing?
It was all me.
Oh, you did. Well, okay. Well, there you go. It was free. Get what you pay for.
Listen, sustain, protect. Thanks. Okay, we're back and we're talking with Brandon Dennison. He's the CEO of Coalfield Development Corporation. Brandon, I understand you have sort of an interesting history here. First of all, you and Rick are basically Cabell Countyites or Cabell Midlandites.
For a while, we lived on the same road, I believe, Brandon. You grew up on House Mill, is that right, or near there?
Blue Sulphur,
okay. Yeah. All right. So, and he graduated from Cabell Midland, which in more fortunate times, many would have gone to Milton High School.
What is it about Milton? Like we keep having all these Milton-type people on the show. I don't know if that's a coincidence or are Milton people just more impressive?
Yeah, I think that's got to be it. But tell me, you came out with a vision very early on for doing this. It wasn't like you tried several different things and then stumbled onto this. Could you talk about that?
So I'm born and raised in West Virginia. Love this place. Went to undergraduate at Shepherd and became very involved with an amazing Presbyterian church there, Shepherdstown Presbyterian Church. And that experience fostered in me a deep commitment to social justice. You know, not just wanting to see charity and handouts, but wanting to see society actually become a more fair and equitable place. And so because of those experiences, I went to graduate school with a pretty clear vision. I learned about what social entrepreneurship was. I felt like social enterprise was something that could really be a game changer in my home state of West Virginia. We would do these service trips at the church. I led the youth group to Native American reservations and inner city soup kitchens and all over the place. But the last service trip we led before graduate school was in Williamson, West Virginia. And we were doing traditional charitable stuff. We were doing home repair. And as we were outside working, it was July, it was really, really hot. And these two young men came walking down the hazy street towards us. They had tool belts slung over their shoulders. And they asked me if we had work available. And yeah, I explained we were volunteers.
That's a beautiful, that is like a really crystal clear moment right there.
Exactly right. And it was 20-second interaction. I said, no, we're volunteers. And they went on their way. But those 20 seconds, it like haunted me. You know, I would dream about it and I would think about it and I would reflect on that kid coming back. I said, that's the problem. We have people who want to work. They want to be a part of something. But because they live in a place that's so distressed, that does not have diversified opportunities, there's nowhere for them to apply that gumption. And so Coalfield is a place for people. It's not a handout. It's a major commitment. But if you got the gumption and the grit to stick with it, we want to be a place with the grace to cultivate that opportunity.
I'm glad you, like, I have nothing against service. Like, I work with the American Friends Service Committee, but I've often talked to groups that come here, and I would have thought, oh, my God, if we could just have, like, one-third of what they spend on getting here, we could put people to work,
exactly. Earning
wages and doing stuff that needs to be done. And so, I mean, there is something higher than charity, and that's organization and solidarity. Mm-hmm. So I
feel like I had to disclose that your dad's Corley Dennison,
yeah,
former Marshall professor. A lot of people will know him from the Pitt School. Now he's with the Higher Education Policy Commission, and he's a member of my board of directors. So,
Full disclosure.
And a great guy. Anyone who knows your dad. And then also, you know, your brother is in West Virginia doing great work as well with Vision Shared.
Yep.
With your upbringing, with your education, you could have gone anywhere, could have done anything. Why stay?
My wife Ashley now works at Heritage Farm.
I didn't know that.
Museum and Village. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So Dennison's trying to do good stuff all over the place.
Well, I mean, you know, easily could have gone anywhere, right? Why stay?
You know, I've been to Botswana, been to Nepal, I've been to Europe. I've been to 47 of the 50 states. My parents were great, gave us good experiences. We learned by, you know, traveling and having experiences together as a family. I just think West Virginia is the most fascinating place on earth. It's an intersection of so much of this country's history and culture and heritage. And I think it's just where I want to be.
How could we rebrand ourselves? I'm thinking back to that commercial that aired during the Super Bowl with Detroit. It's gritty. It's tough. It's a place where people make things. If there's anywhere in America that has had as much trouble as we've had recently, it's Detroit. And yet they become this magnet for what you're talking about, social entrepreneurs, people that see in that struggle and in the poverty and in all the empty buildings, the opportunity maybe to try something new. How would you rebrand West Virginia to get those same people to think about us as a place they want to live?
I think West Virginia is a place, again, just like, so I finished graduate school. I moved back in with mom and dad for a year and a half. But because we have such compassionate communities, we have low cost of living, it's not a lot of money with the jobs, but it's a good quality of life. I think we rebrand ourselves as a place where you can come and make your ideas a reality.
Okay, Brandon, we're wrapping things up, but before I do so, a lot of people who are listening to this, they're going to want to know more about what you do. They might want to help.
The low-hanging fruit, we have a donate button on coalfielddevelopment.org. But the cooler thing is you can do business with us. We make furniture through Rediscover Appalachia. We sell agriculture products through Refresh Appalachia. We do solar installation through Rewire Appalachia. Revitalize Appalachia as a general contractor.
What's that website again?
Coalfielddevelopment.org.
Brandon Dennison, he's the CEO of Coalfield Development Corporation. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate
it. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Rick, what are your words of wisdom for this week?
Well, listening to Brandon talk reminds me of something that an Italian political philosopher said: as an alternative to philanthropy, let us offer solidarity and organization. Nothing against philanthropy and charity, but there is something beyond that, and that's one thing that you're trying to do with Coalfields.
Oh, well, we need a song to go out on.
Well, when I think about our crew members, I think about Tom Petty's Won't Back Down.
Oh.
More specifically, Johnny Cash did one that's particularly well connected to this place, I think.
All right, and people are listening to that right now. That's Brandon Dennison, CEO of Coalfield Development. I'm Scott Finn, Grand Poobah, West Virginia Public Broadcasting, with Rick Wilson of the American Friends Service Committee, and thanks for listening.
And I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.